AusPic. Pictures that give meaning to Australia. With Susan Butler.
I grew up in Newcastle in New South Wales, so weekend excursions were to the Hunter Valley. It is part of my childhood memories to see a low line of hazy blue mountains along the horizon. In particular, to see the Wattigan Mountains with the Sugarloaf Peak, now, of course, with various antennae sticking up from it. So often we live in the valleys with the mountains behind us as a physical and mental backdrop. There are features of those mountains that we have picked out as landmarks. In English and American use, a range is a row of things, so that in relation to the environment, a range can be a row of mountains or of any other identifiable features, such as islands, for instance. This is why we need to specify a mountain range, because a range of a different sort is possible. It took the Australians to pluralise the word, as we often do when we move from a geographical feature to an area characterised by that feature. We take the ranges to mean, and I'm quoting the Macquarie Dictionary here, country broken by hills or small mountains, not necessarily in a connected line or series. So Australians distinguish between the mountains and the ranges, the latter being the uneven terrain that lies beneath the mountains, but which is more elevated than the valley or the plain. A particularly vivid way of describing such ranges is to say that they are razorbacked. That is, they present a ridge with jagged, sharp peaks. The image is from an animal, particularly a pig, with a narrow back and a prominent ridge-like spine. The opposite to this is humpbacked, that is, presenting a ridge with smooth, rounded peaks. The same pattern can be observed in the move from ridge to the ridges. The earliest meaning of ridge in Old English is the back or spine of a human or animal. From this starting point, the word moves to metaphorical uses, one of which is for the spine of a mountain range. The Adelaide Advertiser of 1947 waxes lyrical about the Gammon Ranges, a remote part of the Flinders Ranges, and I quote, "The rounded summits swell smoothly upward, and the ridges and spurs sprawl out like the limbs of some great monster. Progress may be made along the beds of gorges and along the crests of ridges, but usually only with considerable difficulty if a combination of these ways is tried. As the traveller leaves the top of the ridge that he has followed, the ground falls away at an increasing rate until he peers into the great gulf at his feet, a gulf from which he may advisedly turn back." So warned the Adelaide Advertiser in 1947. So ridges and spurs are part of the animal world, applied metaphorically to the terrain that we see. The Sugarloaf that I mentioned is a peak that is conical and tapers to a point. It comes from the way in which sugar used to be produced as a conical moulded mass in its refined state. Not common these days, but still remembered in the name of this type of mountain peak. A Sugarloaf is quite distinctive and viewable from a distance, so it was used as a landmark, as in this description of a block of land for sale in the Hobart Town Courier of 1836. Bounded on the north by a rivulet running in a westerly direction from Baghdad Sugarloaf, situated east of Constitution Hill. On the east by a line commencing at that Sugarloaf and running in a southeasterly direction. And so on. The term saddle is another figurative one, taken from the saddle on a horse. This is a depression between two hills or mountains. Looked at from afar, the dip between the hills is concave, but when you are on it, the sides of the saddle fall away smoothly on each side of the ridgeline. The saddle often provides the only way of negotiating the mountain range, as is mentioned in this account of exploration in the Otway Range in southern Victoria, which appeared in the Camperdown Chronicle of 1894, and I quote, Night was closing in, and as Robbie had been absent since 10 o'clock in the morning, I went off to light a fire on the saddle and discharge a gun in the hope of attracting his attention, when to my great relief I caught him coming on our track. He reported having been all round this saddle without finding any way by which we could get the dray further along, thus corroborating our previous impression that the saddle was the only crossing place in these ranges. End quote. The mountains presented quite an obstacle to the settlers at Sydney Cove, so that descriptors like inaccessible and impassable were commonly used. But the other feature of mountains in Australia is that they are blue. There are, of course, the Blue Mountains near Sydney, which are notable for the blue haze that hovers above them and colours them. But mountains elsewhere in Australia appear as a blue line along the horizon. It was thought that the particular blueness of Australian mountains was caused by the dispersed droplets of eucalyptus oil, which refracted rays of light. But there is a new theory that says that the mountains have little to do with it. They are, in the Australian landscape, usually quite a way off, so that viewers are much more affected by the blue light scattered by dust and other molecules in the air between them and the mountains than they are by droplets of eucalyptus oil in the air above the mountains. The sky looks blue to us because of all the high-frequency blue light scattered by molecules in the atmosphere. In the same way, the mountains look blue because of the scattering of blue light between us and them. Either way, blue mountains on the distant horizon are a distinct feature of the Australian landscape. What do you think causes the blue mountains to be blue? Do you have a Sugarloaf mountain on your horizon? Are there any other types of hills, mountains or ranges that you can think of? Can we have photos of them, please?
That's AusPic. Thank you, Susan Butler. Send any contributions or your pictures to macquariedictionary.com.au/AusPic. That's O-Z-Pic, one word. macquariedictionary.com.au/AusPic.